watching Flashback Friday with Henrik and Lana, streaming live every Friday.
Spread the truth. Document it. Prove it. Make it irrefutable, and you too will become dangerous to those who admire us in lies and enslave us.
Globalism.
But because they are lying, it's possible to expose them. And this is their Achilles heel. By comparison, we have nothing to hide, therefore we have no reason to lie. And we wouldn't want to, even if we could. Truth is a far superior weapon than deceit. It's a weapon which is denied to them. And in the end, it will be the decisive weapon that destroys them completely.
Fucking
all right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Hope you're all doing well. Another Freya's Day is upon us. Of course, it's kind of it's a special Friday for many reasons. One, of course, not only because it's your birthday.
That's right.
It's because we had a nice eclipse of the moon yesterday. What is it, Mercury retrograde? Almost a gay.
Yeah, that's
happening. Mercury retrogay.
That's happening today, starting today.
Full moon and stuff like that. So don't expect nothing else if people go nuts and crazy. The worm comes out. The parasite
communicate comes out. Clearly and slowly and double check all your paperwork. Don't throw your laptops out the window. If there's some issue, it will pass.
So just
it's a slow down time, right? Just to reassess a little bit. I always find during Mercury retrograde, people from the past I hadn't talked to in a while reach out, mm-hmm. or kind of some reoccurring theme of something that I thought was over and dealt with comes back and it's not dealt with.
Okay. Well, yeah, as we said, it's March 14th, which means it's your birthday, Lana. Whoa. Ready? Oh, wait, where's
my birthday? I feel like I'm winning a prize on a game show right now.
Happy birthday to you.
Nice.
Happy birthday to
I want the Swedish version next, too. Is that Chinese people singing? Is that some Chinese?
Probably.
Ching Chong Chang track?
I don't know. That's all.
Thank you very much, everyone.
That's it. I told you. No days off today. I was just like, technically. I did say, like, you want to take the day off? You want to just, you know.
So I did yesterday, and it was really
do
nice.
Do nothing else, and, you know. But it was
nice.
Like, no.
I did
no,
yesterday.
Let's work,
like,
damn it.
We're going to do it. And it's, by the way, it's also Pi Day.
Yeah.
You know? You guys know Pi Day. It's also the day, unfortunately, that the fraudster Albert Einstein was born. Why are we still learning about him in school?
I'm just going to keep this going the whole show on
today. Stephen Hawking also died. On March 14th, Karl Marx. Yay! Karl Marx died on March 14th. And
some good news.
Jeremy McKenzie, of course, our Canadian friend, he also shares a March 14th birthday. So he's like, don't worry about those losers because we were born. And so we cancel those, you know, J's out.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Some authenticity came in.
Yes.
After all the fake and gay stuff.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's good. Good stuff. All right. So, we got to... We got some stuff to cover today.
Quite a bit.
We'll get there. But for some reason, it feels like just more laid back, you know, sludgy.
Sludgy,
show,
huh?
I'm not sure why, but we'll figure it out. We'll make sure to make it a good show for you guys. But yeah, we did have a A worm moon. It was not a blood moon, right? Worm moon.
Well, they call it blood because it turns red, but it is
so
was a worm moon because, of course, the soil is warming up, so the little worms are starting to come out. That's why you hear more birds out. And where are all the birds all winter, by the way, around here? I'm like, where do you guys hide? And they just suddenly come out, you know, like, it's springtime. I'm out.
The bird fairy that flies away with them, maybe? I don't know.
So we went for a walk yesterday, and it was beautiful in North Idaho. Saw the big full moon, you know, with the kids.
Yep.
But then it got cloudy, so couldn't see the full lunar eclipse, unfortunately.
Which was, so I was up at that time. It was 11:30, something like that. So, yeah, as you said, I mean, this is how nice it looked. Let me show people this, because that's how nice it looked before. Nice and clear. It was like, all right, getting ready for the lunar eclipse, you know what I mean? And then it's cloudy. In fact, a snowstorm came in. It was like hail mixed with sleet.
So bizarre. Just a quickie. And it's just a little white. A little white.
Soft hail, the best I can describe it. Is that, remember that when the Blacks said it was fake snow?
Yeah.
It was a few years ago. It's some plastic that they're in, some microplastic, you know, composite that they're raining down. Anyway, where am I going?
Yeah, they're not known for being snow people, are they?
Where are the snow monkeys? That's right.
You've gone up.
Yeah, and looked. So it was totally cloudy and I couldn't see anything. And then at 3, I was up again because, you know, that's what it is with younger kids. Sometimes you got to get up and tend
Papa,
to things.
Papa.
Yeah. So. And then it was
it's my
again.
Birthday, Hugo. It's my birthday today. I don't want to lift a finger. Okay?
How long is it? 24? How many hours? I would have to go. All right.
Anyway, it's her birthday. She gets this.
Yeah. God damn it. Got to make breakfast and coffee and flour. What? Yeah.
By the way, I don't ask him to do any of those things, but he does.
I do. Obviously. What should do for you, woman? So anyway, so we didn't get to see it, but I did kind of experience it though. I do say that it was like kind of, I don't know, what was it, something with kind of like old things being kind of drudged back, like, you see what I'm saying?
Well, usually in eclipse, like in astrological terms, it depends on where it hits in your astrological chart, but as far as the alignment of the planets, but it's something is getting eclipsed out of your life. Right. So out with the old, shedding something old to make room for something new. And for me, that definitely hit home because I know what those things are. And I felt very strong energy yesterday and a couple days leading up to it. You know, a lot of meditation and just inner work and just feeling like lots of good energy to work with, you know. So I think that we can ride those energies and use them to our benefit. Do some inner work.
I mean, I still think there's something to the worm parasite thing, worm-pilled thing like that.
Yeah.
So the most simplistic way of explaining that is worms is basically maybe a precursor to like reptiles, but it's more like reptile kind of thing. And you think of like turtles or even snakes and things like that. They obviously go and hatch their eggs around the full moon. Partially, it's obviously because it gives you more light, right? So, like, you look at turtles, for example, they can find their way down to the beach and things like this, right? So
it's illuminated.
But it has something to do with the magnetic pull. I'm not sure how it's related, but so some of the ideas is that these parasites that, yes, basically we all carry, and some people are so parasite-ridden, they're probably, there's speculation.
They become lunatics.
Well, yeah, you have that, right? Yeah, but like the schizophrenia, like, you know,
a lot of disease. They're starting to find a lot of diseases is coming from parasites. So I know we talk about this a lot, but health is a big part of it. So, you know, it's a good time to start a parasite cleanse, whether it's ivermectin, fenbendazole, wormwood complex. You know, you gotta do it. You gotta clean up.
Why do they call it wormwood? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in Japanese culture, they do this regularly. It's part of their culture because they eat a lot of raw fish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just normal. In third world shithole countries, they also do antiparasitics.
Well, it's one of the reasons why
we deworm our animals.
Spicy food, right? I mean, it's a preservative,
cayenne pepper kills parasites.
Yeah.
And just have some cayenne and lemon and honey, and you see how good you feel after you just swig that down.
We used to do other things, you know. Up in Europe and stuff like that too. And if we didn't have access to all those things, there are other. I think wormwood is probably native, right?
I'm not sure. Actually,
there are other things you can do. You know, even charcoal. There's, you know, detoxifying with dandelion. There's all kinds of things. anyway, that's not what this is about. But I'm just, it's curious, you know, I mean, interesting with that idea that it's like they awaken, you know, kind of in your body. And there's some people argue that if you have, such a significant problem with these parasites, worms, essentially, they can affect your mental state.
Oh, yes.
They affect your gut, which is your second brain.
Oh, people right, literally get brain fog after people will do parasite cleanses.
Sure.
They feel cleaned up. I mean, that could be candida as well or food intolerance, but oftentimes parasites are a huge thing. And this is something that's newer in my life. I didn't think about this for many years. I knew like, oh, okay, I went to a foreign country before and you take something, but you didn't think, oh, in the West, we don't have parasites. There can't be parasites and things, but they're everywhere.
So I remember there was the... What was that called? Bullshit with Penn and Teller? Was that what it was called? They did one debunking of 9/11. It was funny, but also they ridiculed the idea that there's people have parasites. Well, we have warm water and toilets, and that's the one reason. It was like, no, everything you eat has, you know, things
everything.
On it.
Everything. And there's the cancer connection to look into, like, the Joe Tippins protocol, for instance. But anyway, now is a good time. We're heading into spring. We had the full moon. All these things are happening. All this energy is building up. It's a good time to declutter, whether
Happy
it's your physical
birthday.
Space.
No, I'm going to do that all.
Your internal space, your mental space. I mean, I'm feeling it. And I know my friends are feeling it. Time to declutter things that don't serve you well, things that are just dragging you down, people, bad relationships that you're not getting anything from. Now is a good time to just... cut that stuff out.
I feel the worm.
Refresh, reinvigorate. You know, I got to say, I feel, in my old wise age, I feel better than ever. I wish I had this mind when I was 22, but it doesn't work that way, does it?
What are you talking about? You're 32 now.
Yeah.
All right, so that's that. We got some photos around the world as well. That's across the U.S., I guess it says here. But anyway... Of course, I got to include that first, right? The Muslim, something with the moon and the Muslims.
And holy cow, Albert. Albert and Joni, you are family that spoil us. And
holy smokes.
Man, you really help us so much. Albert, thank you so much. He says, happy birthday, Lana. Wanted to do something extra for your special day. Hope you enjoyed the lunar eclipse last night. The moon looked beautiful here last evening. A great Western warrior and no-go zone this week. Looking forward to another great show today. I wish you all the best. Thank you, Albert.
And that was one of the other things I was thinking of.
Like, you know,
thank you.
Looking at the moon, talking to the gods, the ancestors, whatever, source, whatever you want to call it, of, you know, okay, help us to be conduits. And we all need to be that conduits of the thing that needs to manifest in the earth in this time, right? To do the work that we need to do and stay on point. And there's areas, you know, all of us might need to pivot. I mean, hell, the establishment is pivoting right now too, right? We'll talk about that.
The truth wants out.
Yes.
I've always believed that. And you find conduits and you'll find some way.
So what's next? What's next? What needs to be said? What needs to be done? Who needs to do it, right? Yeah. And Joni says, happy birthday to you, Lana. I was thinking of you last night when I was watching the moon. Oh, thank you so much. Take some time to celebrate this weekend. God bless you both, Mike and Joni. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. Albert, Mike, Joni, we can't. It feels like thank you is not enough, but we're so fortunate to have you guys. We never expected, but we appreciate it so much. Thank you so much.
And the flowers.
And the flowers. That's right, exactly.
They're so beautiful.
Yep.
Thank you.
Very, very
And Charles Turner Jr., thank you so much. I got your text, by the way, and we were late reading that one chat last week. Happy birthday, Lana. Thanks to you, Henrik, and Vince. I got some new lingo for you. I now use Globo Homo Shit Lib, and the most recent one is kvetching. I wonder if you guys have gotten a taste of spring up there in Twin Falls. We had some gorgeous weather earlier in the week, but the last couple of days have been not as nice. Yeah, it's kind of the same here.
Well, right now it's actually quite nice. It's a little cooler, but I'm getting too excited too early, you know?
I love springtime. I love spring. I think it's probably my favorite.
Me too. But I wouldn't be surprised if we'll get some dusting of snow in April, to be honest. We'll see. We'll see.
Dog Whistler says, when I went to Lana's X page today, my screen fills up with balloons. Happy birthday. Oh, it does? I thought that was just for me. Oh, that's funny.
It's for everyone.
They gave it away. That's funny. Yeah. The Boo Man says, happy birthday, Lana. Do not share this with Henrik.
What's happening?
Bill Biz says, Lana, have a very happy birthday. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And God Odin says something in Russian, and shame on me for being Russian and not being able to read that. As you know, it is Slavic tradition to have a toast. So at some point today, please toast yourself for your birthday. Have a great rest of the day. And I wish you and your family all the best health, wealth, and happiness. Spasiba bashoy.
Thank you.
Yes.
So much.
Yes. Isn't that what we all want at the end of the day? Abundance. Everyone wants abundance in their lives for personally, for our family, for our race, right? Which is our extended family. So these are the intentions that I put out.
Yes.
What I want.
I'm going to translate that message real quick.
Badger 76 says, happy birthday, Lana. Thank you so much. Michael 57DE, thank you so much. As hail, Henrik. Hail, beautiful Lana. Hail, our Voke, and hail, our gods. Happy birthday to a great lady. May the gods bless you and every day.
So, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being so generous. Well, that's for you, though. I'm not getting in it. So, can you guess what the message says in Russian?
Happy birthday.
Yes. Who could have figured it out?
C-Dub 85 over on Realm, a great show, y'all, and happy birthday, Lana. Just started watching your show a few months ago and have not been disappointed. Found your show through Lana's clips on Europa, The Last Battle.
Oh,
keep
nice.
It up. Yep. Awesome. That's good.
Very good.
That one really got around, too. I was happy to hear
still
that
going
that
around.
Got around. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Ghost Dogman says March 6th here, fellow Pisces. Happy birthday, Lana. Hello to all my fellow Pisces out there. And also, I've recently I won't go on an astrology tangent too long, but found out that I'm Virgo rising. You definitely want to calculate your rising sign because that's kind of gives you the full enchilada, if you will. Like your rising sign is your outwardly person, kind of the avatar you play in life, how people see you, and your sun sign is more your internal self, like your deep internal work that you're doing. So,
yeah, I still kind of see it as like the clockwork of the creation. You know what I mean? Like,
it's amazing how accurate it is.
Obviously, these things will affect you, considering how large they are, the electromagnetic, influences essentially from these bodies and stuff like that. So yeah, no, it's there's something to it.
Henrik's a Leo rising. You're the lion. I'm the Virgo.
Otherwise, I'm a crab. I'm a crab lion. It's a weird mix.
Cancer,
it's like it's introvert and extrovert, right? At the same time, which it kind of fits though, because I can fake the extrovert stuff, but generally I'm very introvert.
You've definitely stepped more into your lion self over the because you've had to because you've had to, and that's what happens in life, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't realize the abilities you have or what you're capable of until you're forced into that position. And
that's
sometimes
right.
It's for the best.
Yes.
Most always.
Thank you to Buddha Neil Sam as well for gifting five subs over on Rumble. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Did you do the BMC on
Odyssey? Did. I think I did. Yes,
okay.
I did. Thank you so much. And the other thing someone pointed out is that it's the Ides of March. Now, you're probably familiar with this from Shakespeare. We've heard of that, right? It's the day in the ancient Roman calendar that falls on March 15th, and it's associated with misfortune and doom because it's the day that Julius Caesar was assassinated. So, it's supposed to be the Ides were also, I was looking into this, we're supposed to be determined by the full moon, right? Reflecting, it was like the lunar origin of the Roman calendar. But today was a full moon, but generally they were putting it around this period, pretty close, according to the Roman calendar.
I assume they had a solely lunar calendar?
It's a lunar.
Like just lunar?
Well, reflecting I'm not sure, but I think it was just a lunar.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want to play this?
Yeah, let's play. It's 1 minute long.
Okay.
Beware the Ides of March.
A popular phrase, but what exactly does it mean? In Roman times, the term Ides was most likely referring to the day of the full moon and was used to describe the 15th day of the months March, May, July, and October, and the 13th day in the other months. The Ides of March was also a festive day dedicated to the Roman god of war, Mars, and a military parade was usually held. On March 15th, 44 BC, Julius Caesar was stabbed to death in the Roman Senate, an event dramatically recreated in Shakespeare's play Julius Caesar, where a seer foresaw Caesar's demise and told him, "Beware the Ides of March."
All right.
Yeah, it's interesting. Go. The days of the week is still pre-Christian, right? Mars. March
you
comes from Mars. The days of the month. But days of the week also, right?
Days of the week are mostly northern
mostly,
Germanic.
Yeah. What say them again in Swedish?
Obviously, Monday is moon day.
Yeah.
Right? Tisdag, which is the old Tiavas or Tur. Wodensday, Wednesday. Thursday, Torsdag, right?
Mm-hmm.
Friday, Frejasdag.
Mm-hmm.
The only is, so we say lördag, which is actually the bathing day. Lördagen, right. Yeah, where you get the same word for
bathe one day a week.
That's it, yeah, no more. Now, that was like for cleanliness, obviously. That was the day, like hygiene. You know, that's important that you know,
yeah,
take care of that. But anyway, so Saturn, then that's a Roman thing, yeah. I would assume.
Well, the planets. Saturn,
or is it a Sabbath relation to the word? I don't know. Right.
It's just,
and then
it's
Sunday.
That's something I just never thought about, right, growing up. Like, but the days, yeah, of the week. I know Slavs also, same thing. There's, yeah, the days of the week correlate to, you know, different pre-Christian terms, right?
Yeah.
And deities. But I never thought about that growing up. Like, just the planets, the days of the week, all that, how, what it correlates to, what, yeah, the words that you use all the time. What is the meaning? Yeah. But it's, of course, March. Yeah, it's Mars.
The moons, the months, right?
Yeah.
I think the Romans messed with the most with that. Like, adding, what is it? Is it February that's like shoehorned in there?
Is it? I'm not sure.
Well,
not sure.
Also look at the unsyncedness of them, right? January, February, March, April, May, June. July, August, right? Unless the prior are named after those, right? August, mm-hmm, is that 8th? No, 6th. September, that's Sept is 7, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the 9th month.
Oh, I see. I see what
October,
you mean.
October, that's 8.
Yeah.
Octo, which is the 10th month.
See? Didn't even think
November,
about that.
I forget what that is. Is that just 9? Is that what it is? No, yeah, I would assume it's 9, right? Mm-hmm. 9, 10, December, like decimal, decade, you know, that type of stuff, which is now the 12th moon of the year. So, yeah.
It's, I mean, all intertwined.
It's kind of messed
it's
up.
It's all intertwined.
It used to be 13 for simplistic sake, right?
I think, I did miss 13. That. BMC 1488, happy birthday, Lana. You look great as always. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And Veritas 6464, happy birthday, Lady Loctef. Cooey! My prezi for you. I know. I just figure that's how you sound. You probably don't sound that way, but that's how I read it. I know you're a fun Aussie guy down under, so you know. My prezi for your birthday is not finished. It's taking a little longer than I expected, but I'm obviously now over my use-by date. You will be blown away. Never guess ever. Oh, yeah? I still have the opal, too.
Yes.
I still have to do something.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you for that. All right. Cool. Should we get into some of the stuff?
Well, let's do it.
I do want to mention this, too, real quick here, too. We actually had, unfortunately, a Swedish nationalist here, a nationalist businessman, I guess is really the best term. He was the heir to something called Vasabröd, which is the knäckebröd, right? The
little, I know that one. I didn't know that.
What would you call it? Like a hard,
the crisp bread.
Yeah, crisp bread. I think it was his grandfather that founded that, and then eventually Vasa was sold to another conglomerate or something like that, and he became a multi-millionaire. And so, yeah, he actually invested in the company that helped to eventually start a Pirate Bay.
Nice.
It's kind of interesting when you think about the kind of the how that affected like the Hollywood industry and stuff like that too. He probably did it for a reason. Let me put it that way. But he did spend time in jail for that, and it was found out too that the people who prosecuted him were also sitting like on the boards of these like digital rights companies and stuff like this.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Carl Lundström, he died in a plane crash Monday after he had flown from, from Zurich from Slovenia to Switzerland, Zurich, I think it was. And apparently, I assume, bad weather, something like that. So heading to Zurich from Slovenia. And he crashed in the mountains there. 20 aircraft from the Croatian capital Zagreb. That's where he flew from.
Is it?
And
you think it was truly an accident?
Well, so a lot of people said this. Obviously, I can't. You know, you never know with these kinds of things. Obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised. But also, I mean, accidents do happen. Especially, you know, he was flying by himself. He was piloting his own plane. He was 68, you know, so he's kind of getting up there. Sorry, excuse me, 64. So he's kind of getting up there in age. I mean, it's not that you're, you know, disabled at that point, but I'm saying, you know, you're not 25. You know what I mean, in terms of your ability. So anyway, long story short, he was a good nationalist activist in Sweden. He was one of the people that were helping out and trying to make sure that the insane ethnocide that's going on, the replacement of Swedes, is something is being done with that. I think he backed Alternative for Sweden for quite a while. They're the ones who made a statement on this. He was a stalwart, you could say, of Swedish nationalism. He did a lot of different things too, obviously. They said, I think they had a quote here. Where is it? Excuse me, I should have read this before.
Alternative for Sweden Party said, too.
Yes, I'm going to show that in a moment here. Yeah, posts on Facebook that the fatal accident which claimed his life, quote, a legend and veteran of Swedish nationalism, he passed away. So yeah, I didn't know Carl, but I had the pleasure of speaking with him back in 2016, and I hadn't really been in contact with him since, but he kept an eye on what we're doing too. So that's sad news, you know? So another good nationalist activist with some resources and means gone, taken out of circulation. Hopefully he had something in place to ensure that, you know, obviously hopefully his kids will pick up, you know, tradition and, you know, things like that, obviously. But yeah, so we wish him well on his way to Valhalla as he visits his ancestors or wherever he's going. But he was, you know, these are the fights we take, We do today, right? It's you're not going to be out there and swinging a sword these days. You know, you're going to be the battles is on a completely different level. You know what I mean? And we need more guys like this. You know,
it's nonstop psyops, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. We'll see. You never know. Someone actually showed. What did they show? Here's the mountains. There, he fell on a big mountain, Veliki Planina. Otherwise, a beautiful place. Look at that.
Oh, wow,
Slovenia. Look at those houses.
Yeah, there. Slovenia looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'd love to go there.
Yep.
Check it out one day.
Very, very nice.
I don't think there's many non-Europeans there.
I don't think so.
One of the reasons why I would love to go vacation there, because I think of like, let's go to Europe. Okay, where do we go?
Yeah, this is why like Croatia has become more popular and stuff. Like people are just like getting, you know, like,
where's the white people at?
Let's not go to Marseille or to Nice or
London or Paris.
Venice or, you know, let's just go to, you know, go to one of these countries, actually. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. So some sad news, but hey, that's life. We all
die at some point.
We all crash out at some point. That's right. So appreciate it while
out
it's
with
here.
A bang.
Yep.
What a way to go, huh? Plane wreck.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened. Apparently the authorities have been, I don't think it's a reason for that, but they had not announced. It was like kind of tight-lipped about it so far, but they said that basically, like, yeah, we found one body. It was the pilot, obviously, and everyone knew that it was his plane and stuff. But, you know, we'll see if more details comes out or not over the next few days or next week or so. Okay, so we're talking about the moon and shit. So I thought, we could spend some time talking about the sun, apparently. There's an interesting developments, and this is partially to do with the pivot that we talked about, right, of the establishment, the elite, not only riding on the energies of, like, populism, nationalism, kind of right-wing general tendencies. Doesn't mean that they are, and in fact, as they join, that dilutes it, downplays it, and makes it more gay, which, of course, they want, but
then
instead of...
Then they have to splinter off again and be more set apart in new ways, yes.
But I wanted to open that little feature with this, which is about solar geoengineering, which is insane, obviously, and there's a reason why I bring it up, but it's interesting that, like, note on this. The UK's gamble on solar engineering is like using aspirin for cancer. So here's The Guardian, even like doing an op-ed piece on like, hey, this is pretty insane. Whereas in the past, right, they'd be like, this is great. We have to. And also, by the way, as they
But some people inject... do use aspirin for cancer, by the way. There is some protocols.
I'm not saying, okay, that's not the point.
Okay.
I'm just saying the point is... throwing very little at something that's like a much larger problem. Sorry. But injecting pollutants into the atmosphere to reflect the sun would be extremely dangerous.
Yeah, it's insane. Okay, it's insane.
But the UK is funding field trips. So it's not that they've given up on this yet. Obviously, I think they'll probably come back in with a vengeance. When there's some new energy around, then they'll hijack that and surf that or whatever. But it is interesting that how can one country be allowed to, you know, do anything like this, spray, even if it's, we're just spraying over our land. And it's like, no, all of this goes just into the stratosphere.
Yeah, we don't have a say. It's the air we breathe.
Yeah. It's insane, isn't it? But so anyway, at least in the, you know, the UK, The Guardian in this case, which is remarkable, they have a debate article about this. Like, yeah, maybe this is not that great. they talk, of course, about that. Oh, well, you know, this is very real, obviously, with climate change, and we always have to do something, but maybe it's not
maybe
right to inject.
Maybe spraying barium and aluminum isn't the answer, right? But the thing
sodium,
is, it's been...
calcium,
yeah, there's so
sodium,
many things, right, that they're finding... But here's the thing, they've been doing this for so long now. Now it's become more mainstream, but there's a lot of damage that's been done. People are having, you know, thyroid problems, breathing problems, heavy metals in their system. These things are in the soil, they're in the water. Like, it's a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major thing that's going to need to be addressed from this. And these people need to pay the price for it.
They say solar geoengineering, a barking mad scheme to cancel global heating by putting pollutants in the atmosphere that dims the sun by reflecting some sunlight back to space. is this really worth it? I mean, it's based on junk science. I think it is heating up, but those aren't because of natural solar cycles, essentially.
Yeah.
But anyway, so going from the Guardian piece, now check this out. This is very interesting. Bill Gates gives up on climate change. That's enough of that.
Let's elaborate on this.
Okay, let me read a little bit here. In decades past, as the effects of climate change slowly become undeniable. Yeah, but what is causing it? The effects are real, but it's not anthropogenic, it's not human-made. Some looked to the super-rich, the billionaires, with enough cash to really make a splash for a solution. They backed green energy campaigns, carbon capture programs, all that's still going. Pushed plastic recycling, well, that's not... Why not push not use plastic at all? How about that? And climate change messaging. New products hit the market as ethical consumption became the rule of the day. Electric vehicles, solar panels, all that super toxic. The wind farms, the windmills, they lie in landfills for like centuries, I think they said. That like, these things don't even break down. Anyway, they pushed reusable bags, carbon neutral dryer balls. And of course, who can forget the
those dryer balls? That's going to save the planet, you know.
The paper straws. They couldn't come up with anything else than paper straws. Anyway.
So basically, let me skim this.
Let me read a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting to it here. By early 2020s, billionaires had positioned themselves as the master of climate change policy, taking advantage of their great fortunes to become indispensable to environmentalism. Now they jumped on this. I'm not saying they hijacked it. In some cases, they did push it. But yeah, they'd be like. It was like Al Gore or whatever. Buy my green light bulbs.
It's fake. It's fake environmentalism.
Light bulbs. But yeah. Now, however, many of those billionaires are pulling support at an alarming rate. Good. And Bill Gates, Microsoft founder, sixth richest man in the world. I doubt that, to be honest. And alleged sex pest. Well, alleged. Epstein, all those connections, all this. Well, wasn't there something else with some other side gig he had beyond... his man face wife there. Anyway,
should I click the alleged sex pest link and see what that takes me to?
Go down the rabbit hole on that one while I read the rest here. Anyway, so he's just the latest among them. New reporting by Heatmap is signaling the end of a quote major chapter in climate giving as breakthrough energy. Gates' climate change nonprofit has locked the doors on its policy and advocacy office, laying off dozens of employees throughout Europe and the U.S. Good. Breakthrough's lobbying was central to advancing climate policy through legislation championed by the Biden administration, including the Inflation Reduction Act, the CHIPS Act, and the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. As far as I know, they're all like horrific shit in that, all of those. But anyway, though the billionaires for profit green energy investment at companies like Arnergy, I think it is, and Mission Zero Technologies remain in place, Breakthrough's belt tightening will likely end the nonprofit's grant writing efforts. That's a major blow to climate nonprofits and further evidence that for all their feel good blusters, the mega rich never forgot their bottom line. Well, of course not. Ever since billionaire real estate mogul Donald Trump won his second presidential election, tech barons like Mark Zuckerberg, who did away with the tampons in the men's bathrooms. So, you know, everything's forgiven. Jeff Bezos, again, Washington Post owner, turned again, you know, basically aided in the whole media landscape that attacked Trump in the way he did. Also, kind of joined up with Trump. Sundar Pichai, the Google Pajit. And, of course, Elon Musk, who had made no bones about shedding their progressive skin and embracing the new administration.
Now, yeah, because they're friends with Trump, they're claiming he's just turning his back on environmentalism, but they don't actually have what evidence do they really have for that. He's still going to be shilling and pushing all the same crap.
Yeah.
He doesn't just stop overnight after he, he's in deep. The sex pest.
The thing with it is basically that they're turning their coat to wherever the wind blows, right?
Yeah, and he's doing it now.
But it is interesting that, let me see if I can find that. This was one, right? We posted this at the time. That's Zuckerberg, right?
It's cutting off the tail.
That's the little lizard that, basically just
shedding
like,
that little gay tail.
And I did another graphic which was pretty good, but it was the same idea. It was like a snake crawling out of its LGBTQ skin.
Oh, you know yes, I mean? That was a good one.
Which is basically what it is. What I'm saying is these things have always just been a cloak for them, right? These are oligarchical technocrats, and some of them are vehement anti-white activists, and are weaved into other projects they're doing or whatever. And they kind of just they see the trends, and if you can't beat it, you join it, and that's basically what it's down to. And so they seeing this as like, oh my god, that's it, it's over. If anyone who's more friendly to the climate change stuff, anthropogenic global warming hoax, next they'll just join them. Mm. Oh, well, look at that. Now it's back on again, yeah. Kind of thing. But it's about the fact that like they realize that they have to join where the flow and the attention and the energy
is. It's the mainstream, yeah. So they have to.
In a way. Yeah. It would, and this is not strange at all, right? But as we said, that also helps to weaken and dilute those movements as well. They're like, oh, look at that. Like Zuckerberg is on our page now. Woke is over. We defeated them kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're not understanding how they're using all of this and what the purpose is, right? So anyway, so they're very, very upset about this. I don't know. Did you skim down further down?
Yeah, there's a much more about it. Gates was withholding the COVID vaccine from blacks because he really wanted to kill them. And remember when we were all, no, send the COVID shots to Africa. We'll opt out. We'll send them all down there.
I was convinced it was about genociding whites and make them feel bad about it.
That's the same time, calling
them racist for getting this life-saving, COVID
jab. Yeah, and he's friends with Epstein. And then, of course, he's known for like just being a pervert in the office, and interns have complained about him, mm-hmm. and just ooh. So he's a little nerdy pervert on top of it.
Of course, I mean, but here's where futurism gets it wrong, and it's my point as well. So he talks about that, how he had a 3-hour dining with Trump, and he was impressed by Trump and grasped on the issues dear to him and stuff like that. Trump shouldn't have let these people back in.
No,
he should not have let Zuckerberg go and kiss Trump's ring. But anyway. So that's it.
Well, it's easy to appeal to his ego and work your way back in there.
Yeah,
I think.
But how much is?
And he figures, they're rich and powerful, so I kind of have to. It's kind of my duty as a president, right?
Well, here's where they get it wrong. Though many no doubt feel betrayed by what seems like a sudden rightward turn. In what way has Bill Gates turned?
Having dinner with Trump doesn't make him right.
He is a right winger now.
No,
this is our retardedness.
See, well, this is in the mind of a leftist. Just being nice to somebody who doesn't share your views is you becoming a Nazi.
Well, of course, yeah. Now you're enabling them, right? You need to fight. But they really, basically, it's a couple of retards in the media that haven't understood. Like you, just get in there and claim you're part of the. Sure, I'm on your side now, and then you undermine it from within. Anyway. Like Gates, they've always behaved like wolves in sheep's clothing. That is true. Prioritizing their fortunes above all. And it's not that they don't want to have money, and it's not that they don't want to have more money. But at this point, it's not about money to them. It's not about just growing your... This is about how you control, how you manipulate, how you can steer, how they can put themselves in a position of, basically like a new Caesar or something. I dictate, I run the show now, essentially. It's interesting how it's like them just folding and joining the other side, which, arguably then also proves how little differentiation there actually is in a way, right? It's like it's the political establishment, and then there's the non-political establishment, right? And now this is the political establishment.
That's right.
that's just basically what it is.
We're seeing that with more.
All right, we'll keep, we'll say we're friendly to them then, so we can just go join. But anyway, so there are still things obviously happening on this front, but it's interesting that don't be surprised. They'll give up for three and a half more years or whatever it is now, right? Kind of on this issue. And if and when, yeah, exactly. They'll just pick right back up on that and they turn
just like on these universities that say, okay, we're going to lay off the dye stuff. I'm going to get into that soon. But then they'll just resume their normal activities because it's already infested with a bunch of leftists.
That's right.
In these institutions.
Yes. I have this. Where's my snake at? Yeah, here. I have to find it. There it is.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's the skin.
Slithering out. Isn't
the gay skin.
Isn't it the year of the snake, too? I think so. In Chinese.
Year. Well, it was the year of the rat.
Every year is the year of the rat in this country.
I guess so. Well, okay, so let me just continue on this thread for a little bit here. Here's also about the Jewish mainstream bending to the right. And not just on Israel. Jews feel threatened.
It's all about Israel. Let's be real here.
Protests. That is all of Israel is threatened because a couple of
finally they can come out and be honest that they're Zionists, because all of them, like all these lefty, there's a lot of closeted lefty, you know, Jewish Zionists.
Yeah.
You know, there's some that signal against it. Sure, they're reform or whatever, but the majority of them, they're Zionists.
Oh, they're ethno, they're hardcore, like they're racists. Yes. You know, for their own people, you know, that's the good, you know, good for them. That's not the point of my critique,
but not at our expense. Okay, well, you go do you over it, there, you go have your wars over there, yeah. And we're not going to pay for this crap.
Yeah, so anyway, this is just the general tone of the thing that I've been seeing recently. Because if you just go back, like, you know, a couple of decades, right? I mean, here's one of the OG neocons right here, Norman Podhoretz, who's the father of is it John? What's his first name again? Oh, shit. Forget his first name. Anyway, these are, you know, he founded Commentary Magazine, I believe, together with Irving Kristol, who's Bill Kristol's father. These are this dynastic Jewish neoconservatives that basically fucked up the world beyond, they've just helped to displace 60 million people, primarily from Middle Eastern countries, on behalf of Israel. That's why we had to do the right thing and let these people in and all this crap, right? But yeah, he's done presentations. This is from 2009. So not quite two decades ago. Why are Jews liberal, right? Like, because that's what they were. They were communists. That's the majority. I mean, that was one of
and
the reasons why.
Because they hated the Goyim, mostly. I mean, that's really what drove them to be communists, mostly, right?
Yeah, what is that on loading? That's from Cornell University. That was an interesting... Die Linke, American Communism, and
because they're communists
unity.
For us, loving. But they're ethno-nationalists for themselves.
Yes, and it's also about them being. I mean, it's true, right? Israel. Yeah, let me see if I can find that on archive. What is that not loading for? Yeah, okay, let's load it on archive. You can see, and because you see a lot of the early like communist literature and stuff like that was like in Yiddish. And other propaganda posters for communism and Marxism that were in Yiddish. This is why, you know, prior to the 1930s in Germany, there was like Jews were the communists. Mm-hmm. If not all of the people on the ground, which there were other, you know, Germans and other people too, obviously. But I'm saying all the intellectual spearheaders, those are like leading the movement, they were Jews.
Yes.
And of course, that's where a lot of the contention and the, you know, issue to begin with, they antagonized and all this stuff, right? But yeah, here's a. Do you want to check this one out for 2 hours, 17 minutes, 37 seconds? Here's some beautiful woman here. I can't see what did she say. Is it called Die Linke Conference Session 1?
Let me hear just the 30
America,
seconds.
Communism, the Jewish Left, and Unity. The Spark. That's right. I remember that. The Spark. That was in, which of course is lighting the fire, right? The fire starters. It's always this. You know, May Day, they've hijacked like old kind of fire type story, mythologies. Prometheus, things like that. The Yiddish immigrant left from Popular Front to Cold War explores the history of culture and political activities of the Jewish people's fraternal order.
Just hearing that.
A significant component of the Yiddishist immigrant Jewish left.
But see, it's the immigrant. The Jewish immigrant, because they can use this, right, as like a hammer in societies that they come into, right?
The communism?
They start complaining.
Right, sure. And then it's also a little bit of this kind of it encapsulates a diversion in the sense that then the, well, no, I don't have a problem with your ethnic makeup. It's that you're a communist. Mm-hmm. Right? Remember early on in the, you know, what was the act called? Not the Johnson-Reed Act, but it was one before that in the U.S., where they're like, no, we don't want to have these communists from Eastern Europe coming in. And that was like a euphemism for Jews, right?
Yeah.
And so they saw that as an attack on them. They did actually deport some commies.
Explicitly anti-Semitic, they just said, oh, we don't want people from Eastern Europe coming, because they knew that's where all the communists were Jewish communists were hiding out, right? So that's why a Jew will tell you is anti-Semitic, because they knew that that's where all the Jews were hiding.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that there are, sometimes you could say, you know, that's what people call Judeo-Bolshevism, right? There actually is no real distinction in that sense, but you can just claim that it's a political movement. But then when you scrape that surface off, then you realize, oh, no, this is an ethnic religious component here. Although they claim they're on the left and, you know, atheists, or they're, you know, whatever they are. They have, their Judaism is, you know, their identity. That's to their core, right? Anyway, so, you know, just the historical aspect of, like, that's what it used to be. And then over time, they've pivoted and they became, then you had the neocon movement. And of course, that took over much of it. But I'm saying even the neocon from the leftist Jewish establishment, right? They're like, there's two poles of the same ethnic interest that are fighting each other. Mm. And then the goy gets wrapped up in, oh, well, you're team red or team blue, while it's an ethnic conflict. It's a racial conflict, ultimately, at the source of all of this. It's not that the politics can be an expression of that, or that it's, you know, that you can't align with one side or the other at times, but I'm saying at the core of it, it's supposed to be folk first, and that's why we keep losing, because it's either politics or it's religion or it's over science, whatever it is, so some whatever ridiculous division, right? If you don't look after your people, which these people have been very good at doing, which is partially why they're so successful, right? They back each other up for the most part at all times. And even if they do fight, it's kind of
surface level. I mean, come on, they're going to eat each other alive too. But generally, yes, they back each other. I mean, look at all their orgs and all the money that they spend for their ethnic interests. It's insane.
Yeah. Yep.
Got to step up our game here, you know?
Indeed. Yeah, check out this one here. I don't know. This is speaking to this issue here. Slow loading again today. What's going on, Musk? Is Grok sucking up all the processing power? What's going on? Sol Sadka here, the intellectual Tanakh Bible scholar, real estate. Can't make it up. Torah. Okay. He says here.
Real estate in Gaza, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's Purim in Tel Aviv right now. So Jews are all dancing in the streets because 2,400 years ago, some evil, jealous losers tried and failed to kill us all. Here is how it works. You try, you fail, you die. We party for thousands of years after nobody remembers you even existed.
They're talking to us like it's 2,400 years ago, like it's the same people still alive from 24. That's how they see it, right? Well, it's always 2,400 years ago or 1933.
Let me play you.
They project that on all of us constantly.
Absolutely. I mean, they are permanently living in the past.
Yeah, there's no, past is past, Coy. Let's move on. That didn't involve you. Nope.
Everything that happened.
It's you. And it's a war.
Everything that happened up to and like from, you know, 5,000 years ago and up till today is experienced as it's personally happening to them right now.
Yes.
Listen, here's Howard Jacobson. We played this in, was it last week's After Flash? Actually, we played this. But this is a good clip of bring back now regarding the temporal that this is what happens when we don't. They know, many of these people know way more about our history than we know about our own history, right? Mm-hmm. They know everything they know about their own, obviously, but like, because they're studying us. They're trying to, they're
as a way to learn how to destroy us.
Yeah,
dissect us, right? Culture of critique.
And then it's this, of course, the obvious again, this had nothing to do with your behavior. And then, you know, why is there anti-Semitism now in the world? Well, maybe it's because of the wars that so many of these Jews have helped start. Maybe because Barbara Spectors of this world talking about how we're going to replace you. We're going to bring in migrants to these countries, the Israelites, the Hayeses. I mean, there's reasons for this. It didn't just pop out of nowhere. But so Howard Jacobson is a author. He writes regularly for UK paper, you know, Jewish reporter, journalist, whatever. Listen to what he says here.
He'd not seen danger. He'd not seen danger to Jews, but he was aware of danger to Jews. But he had heard from his father. His father, who was born in Ukraine, in Kamenets-Podolsky, had come over and no doubt told him stories.
Gee, I wonder why they have a beef against Ukrainians. Pogroms? Same thing in Russia, by the way. Anyway.
Stories about pogroms and so on. So for my father in the 1940s and 50s, to be Jewish was to carry a memory of the danger of being Jewish. Hence, shtum. So when you say this dystopian future is in fact your past, I completely understand. But isn't it true to say for Jews that for Jews there is no past, present and future? We live all those tenses at the same time. We commemorate our past, we remember our past, sometimes obsessively, someone would say, but we live forever
yeah.
in the past, as vividly.
We live forever in the past.
As though it's now. And yep. I don't think we suppose that our future will really be substantially any different from the past. We have a different sense of the tenses.
Yes,
that's one of the things that being Jewish means, I think. Mm-hmm. That's the long answer to your question. The short answer to your question is yes.
All right.
That's why they literally just see everyone as Nazis and Hitler and fascism rising
and
again. And
we're
Romans. Yes.
Yeah, they see a white face and that's an enemy.
You're coming. Right? You're going to kick
not
us out.
Not all of them. Let's be honest. Of course, it's not all of them. But many, I'd say 95% of them are hardcore. Like, they know this history, they understand it, they've studied it, and if
they're taught
directly,
this from a young age,
they're taught it from the rabbis, they go to the Holocaust
and also
school.
The victim mentality, right?
To yeah go,
yeah
and so, you know, yeah, anyway, so anyway, he linked up some party, we don't have to look at this, but yeah, they're wow, they're dancing in Tel Aviv, you know, whatever. All right, what else have we got?
Let's talk about the Vagina Museum.
Oh, yeah. Let's cut to vaginas out of this.
There is a
great
connection.
That's a great
I
talk.
I bet you didn't expect that one. So I saw...
I did make the mistake. As I was looking... As
Millennial
I was,
Woes okay. had first tweeted something. I was like, what the heck is this? You know, something in London.
In the UK, yeah.
The Vagina Museum is just 1 month away from closing forever.
Oh, no.
A perfect storm of circumstances means that we may... In other words, people don't give a shit about their dumb museum, right? We may have to close our doors permanently and cease all digital activities as though, like, as if, like, the Nazis are shutting them down or something, right? But we're not going to go down without a fight. Save the Vagina Museum. And I go, and it's just this, wow, they've raised £50,000. It's insane. We're battered from all sides. Reproductive rights are in crisis. LGBT and rights are in crisis. Arts and culture are in crisis. Women's rights are in crisis. Name one way women's rights are in crisis. I mean, this is just retarded. So then
they can't kill their babies whenever they want.
They still can. They still can. They can just go to another place, right? Yeah. Another state.
Yeah.
So I go to the Vagina Museum. Oh,
please don't.
I should not.
I made the mistake.
No, I didn't actually go there. I mean, I went on the website. Yeah. Just do not click. Everyone's going to go, do not click on the exhibitions. I repeat, do not click on the exhibitions tab, because you will get lots of pictures of a bunch of ugly, nasty looking.
Okay,
that was just a cartoon. But it's like, just leave it up to these leftists to take something that's like sacred and natural and just make it disgusting and just like just repulsive. Like, they can do that, you know? And come on, they're always acting like the vag is misunderstood or not appreciated. Are you kidding me? Like, guys worship okay?
Well, yeah, but when you present it like that, no thanks.
Well, because it's a bunch of dykes, and as I found too, it's a bunch of trannies that are working there, and so all the TERFs are pissed off because it's the trans exclusionary radical feminists are pissed off because it's a bunch of guys working there.
Inverted so penises can be vagina too.
Yeah, it's literally dudes. Yeah, literally that. So their mission:
the sausage spread is
knowledge,
unmade.
Raise awareness of gynecological anatomy and health. Like, we already know the anatomy of the V, okay? Like, right? It's like this vag worship all the time. It's almost like, well, it's like this in Hindu culture, by the way, too. They have like these weird goddesses with these dilated vaginas and stuff. When I was in India, I was like, what the heck? In some of these temples, some of these goddesses and stuff, how they praise the vag.
Yeah.
Two, give confidence to people to talk about issues surrounding the gynecological anatomy. I mean, come on. This is like drama queens here. Erase the stigma around the body. 4, act as a forum for feminism, women's rights, LGBTQ community, and the intersex community. 5, challenge, here it is, heteronormative and cisnormative behavior. And guess what?
Yeah, it's like communism.
People don't like your crap. And by the way, and it was a TERF that actually pointed this out, they had some pedophile stuff. They literally have an exhibit there that shows a baby wrapped up in a, there's a picture of it, a trans flag.
One. Okay.
With a bottle of lube.
Oh,
and a big,
no.
That's the big,
What? Okay, where do I go?
Keep going.
Down?
Keep going.
Down?
I think you go. No, it's not in that one. It's
okay.
This one right here.
Okay.
Pedo exhibit in the in the document.
Okay, yeah. I said a new link. You just said it in maybe. Okay.
It's, they make it sound like it's so innocent and it's all great. I don't know. You're going to have to scroll down. So it's a picture of... Let me get this for you, because this is really annoying.
There it is.
Yep, okay. A baby wrapped in a trans flag with a bottle of lube and a dildo, okay?
Yeah, that's...
Now, even these lefty TERFs are like, are you guys pedophiles? Like, what is going on? This is
J.K. Rowling
inappropriate.
Upset again?
No, but like actual like queers and dykes and stuff were even like... like disturbed by this.
They were like, you represent us so well.
And
thank you.
the museum was like, oh no, it's totally innocent and it's not not a problem and you're just seeing something that isn't really there. Really? Because I see some disgusting pervert pedophile exhibit. That's what I see right there.
Yeah. Well,
it's utterly disgusting.
Pedos, child abuse.
And so then I go around and I look, okay, who's the founder? Who's the founder? Who's the founder? And
Checks out.
Reminder, my family is Jewish and from Soviet Ukraine. I'm not an ignorant lefty sticking my nose into things. This is personally relevant to me, right? She's like going on about things. So I go to her ex.
Schechter.
I go to her ex and it's just like Jewish, yeah. Jewish.
There's the butte right there.
You know, I don't know. Lesbian, bi, trans. I don't know what's going on there, but she signals a lot about her Jewish heritage.
So she's is she here to help?
I'm Jewish, but I'm here to help.
Yes, she's here to help. She's helping.
It's always
to
these
put babies and dildos,
ugly,
and
dirty dykes and trannies pushing this shit. And guess what? People don't like it. Even in London, like people don't like it. They're not going. It's shutting down. But somehow they managed to raise £50,000. I don't know. I guess these people don't have kids, so they have.
Ooh, brother.
This is what they fund. You know, and then they were saying, well, there's in Iceland, there's a penis museum. So I went.
Based.
It's funny because Henrik was doing a light check and I'm over here looking up like Iceland penis museum.
Lana searching for penis again. All right.
No, really.
I'll take you. I'll go away for a little bit here.
I put in phallic. So I go and I look at it. We can open up that link. And there isn't.
Yeah, did I not? Oh, that's a new one. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was founded
in 1997, and it doesn't appear to have any gay or pedo shit.
Icelandic virility. That's what you're
saying. Yeah, basically. Now, I don't know why this black.
Real power.
They keep showing this black woman everywhere in this,
probably,
too.
Yeah. It's like, is she the one who did it?
I mean, she's probably a lesbian anyway. But it's an old Icelandic guy who did it. It's an Icelandic guy, and he started in the 90s. He tells his whole story that if you click in the history tab, what started as a meager personal collection. I don't know what straight guy is going to collect a bunch of dick fossils. I mean, let's be honest.
I found this gigantic whale penis. I was very impressed. That's a Dutch accent. Sorry, I butchered.
1974.
Yep.
He's given a bull penis pizzle as a joke by his teaching staff when he worked as a headmaster at the small town.
Sigurd, what are you doing?
So he got a phallus. Shame, it started as a joke. And then he started becoming interested in collecting mammal species of these.
All right.
And so then he put it in a museum.
Okay.
And... I guess it's still going strong.
The ladies
at the Vag Museum are really ticked off about this.
Oh, because they have a dick museum.
You know, again, it's more proof of, you know, the patriarchy, evil patriarchy.
I bet you, though, what Sigurd started was not at all meant to be what it is today. That's my guess. Just a hunch, okay?
Yeah, I mean, because there's like a glittering ding dong. Yeah, hanging
exactly.
From the ceiling,
certain things like that. That like, was he was this this his was more like kind of anthropological, I guess. Is that the right term?
Yeah. Look at that rock front. The rock and the. I want to go to Iceland, but I'm definitely not going to be visiting this this museum.
Right. No. Look, there is obviously. There is a correct way, an aesthetic way of doing virility, viril, if you will, right? You could do that in the right way, and then it's the dirty, disgusting way. Like you can understand that these are, you know, if this isn't happening, there's no life. You know, like that it's intricately.
And that's why
tied
we see it in
stuff,
art and architecture, right? There's always the phallus.
This is leftist expression. There's something I think that museum today in Iceland is taken over by shitlibs, and it's the same. It's basically the vagina museum, but for men. You know what I mean?
Yes.
As they claim that they're like, oh no, it's nature, natural. It's so natural. It's actually an attack on those things, right? They take it and they make it ugly.
Yes.
And it makes you revolted at the idea of like that this is natural. And you see what I'm saying? So that's the lefty, spiteful, mutant purpose of why they do stuff like this.
Obviously, we have a straight male audience. And guaranteed, if you go and click on that exhibit link, you will be like disgusted by the pictures, you know?
I will not.
So, and of course, it's like one in every shade. You know, every shade of black and brown and yellow and white. You can't just be white.
Nope, definitely not.
Different shades of smashed roast beef.
Roast beef sandwich. Sorry. Let me see. Gab doesn't load. I have another clip here. I should have downloaded that then. Did I download that?
Okay, Dong Whistler says, Karl Marx.
Dong Whistler.
Lazar. Dong Whistler. I didn't say that. I said dog. I said dog. Karl Marx. Yes, Karl Marx, Lazar Kaganovich, Grigory Zinoviev, and Leon Trotsky never was accused of wearing really big hats. No, they were not. And also, Karl Marx was a loser who lived in filth.
Yes.
Who abused his own kids. He treated his wife like crap, but he's out there talking about, oh, the greater good and helping the little guy. And like his own kids were starving, living in filth.
Yeah.
Space Kang says Jordan Peterson is pushing for Christ as King to be deemed anti-Semitic.
Oh, yeah.
Quite the shock for all the sleeping Christians out there. Yeah, I think it was, I happened to see this in passing. I didn't really get into it, but with Candace Owens, he's like pissed because she says Christ is King, but she can't say it because she's an anti-Semite. I don't know. There's a whole thing going on out there.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah, so, a couple more. Dog Whistler said, Henrik made a comment about Grok hogging up all the X and X running slow. Boom, my feet immediately drop both on X and Entropy. Who knew Elon watched your show? Hope my super chat still hits, and I will catch the rest of the show on the Red Eyes TV site.
Yep.
Happy birthday, Anna. Thank you so much.
I thought it said human biodiversity.
Well, oh.
No, I'm just joking. HBD. No, I'm just joking. Of course it did.
Verity 64 says
should be fine. Anyway, go ahead.
Our Australian mate says we're all surfies down under. We never have dry balls. Yeah, I loved Brisbane, going around the Gold Coast. It's so beautiful there. White people need to just take that land back.
Yeah.
It's so pretty down there. Der Trusker, happy birthday, Lana. Thank you so much. Froggy McGee says
Sar.
Yeah, why don't
you and Vagan.
I'm sorry, Hattie. Vagina Museum. What the fuck is wrong with people? Well, I know.
That's right.
Lesbians, trannies, dykes, commies.
I hope I saved that clip.
That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong.
Save that. Maybe I didn't save that. Did you do the Gnostic Academy on Rumble?
Oh, did I miss that one? Can you take that one?
I can. Hail, Drenic Alana for consistent and persistent work over many years. Support RedEyes.tv, you cheap bastards. Much love from Academy.
You.
Well, thank you.
Thank
Nostic
you.
Academy.
Appreciate that.
That's very kind of you. Yes, I can't get. Does anyone chat? Can you load gab.com or is it just me? I've had this weird thing where, like, even I go to Google and it's like, you're blocked. Like, suspicious. Activity. Is gab.com down, chat? Can you confirm on your end? Can you go to gab.com?
Let me check.
Why have I been blocked? You're unable to access gab.com. Can you go there?
Yeah, it's working.
What did you do?
I have not gone over there in a while.
That's enough, herring eater. That's enough of you.
Better than being a matzo eater.
Let me try a different...
Have you ever tried a matzo ball?
I wouldn't even know
disgusting.
What it is.
Jews are not known for their food, let me tell you.
Let me go to the moon there while I do this. Okay, so I had a clip, and it's from, it's on gab.com. Do I have a secondary browser? Ooh, Microsoft Edge. Sorry, this might crash the computer.
Oh, because there was a clip you wanted to play there, right?
Yeah, and I'm blocked. I'm blocked from Gab. Gab is good to go, people say. Let me open it here.
Yeah, it's working for me. Some ugly feminists with swastikas thinking they're edgy. Yes.
Oh, is that the... Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, Microsoft Edge. Here's Bill Gates should focus... No, sorry, you've been... Is that like IP block? What's happening? It's very bizarre. Okay, that's strange.
I don't think Gab banned you.
Let me do this. Let me do this. Okay, I think I found the reason. Sorry, guys. This is stupid, gay, dumb, slow production here. I do apologize. Lana, sing a birthday song while we wait. It is tremendously slow.
I could go to the next one. If you
I guess so. Well, I wanted to kind of tie together with all that, but yeah, okay.
Okay.
That's not even going.
Can you just try another? Oh, yeah, you can't even get a gap. What if you...
Oh, the whole computer frozen up now. Okay.
You can't, like, sign out and go back in.
Uh-oh. Don't touch anything. Give me a second here. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Sorry, you've been blocked. I'm turning on a VPN. Maybe that's why they know it's VPN traffic or something. Maybe that's why. But now the whole computer is frozen up. We might have to... Should we cut to a... A little commercial break and see if I can sort this out.
Yeah.
Just real quick.
Yeah,
and we
can do that.
We'll be back in like, I don't know, 5 minutes.
Okay.
Do we have
Sounds
that?
Good.
Is that how long it is?
I think that's like 2 minutes, but.
Yeah, like 2 minutes. That's not going to be enough time. All right. Anyway, I might have to restart. Anyway, we'll run this and we'll be back as soon as we can. It was all those ugly vaginas that just crashed the computer,
sure.
I guess. All right, we'll be back in a little bit, guys. See you in a bit.
New Red Ice merch available now. Hope First t-shirts for adults and for toddlers. Fatigues for men. Our favorite, the Red Ice Camper mug. Or ceramic with black print. High quality leather keychain with solar boat imprint. Our Red Ice hat, one of our best sellers. Pick one up today. Or why not? Gray Auslander Rouse t-shirts for both women and men. We also have fridge magnets, Folk First, One Disease, and our black men's t-shirt with the classic red solar boat. Folk First. Get your Red Ice merch from LanasLlama.com. Get an item today. Lana's Llama, proud sponsor of Red Ice.
Thank you for watching. Go to redicemembers.com and sign up for exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at subscribestar.com/redice. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, I'm muted. We had no sound. Okay. Anyway, you. Are you enjoying this, ladies and gentlemen? Is this
God, she was
something
annoying.
Something with American Nazis and Putin and shit.
Oh, my God.
So and you it's know a when fascist
they were,
epidemic.
When they were
but
drying
they're doing their
the, drying
they
like, the swastika, they kind of enjoyed it.
I think they kind of enjoyed it.
Feel the
the virility of that. That's just like,
they're so disgusting. I'm sure some of these women could clean up well if they just dropped this anti-fascist... commie feminist crap, but they won't. They're like militant, you know. It's like this spirit that takes over them and just makes them 100 times uglier than they are.
Yeah.
Ugh, and they think it's so edgy, and then you look at their boobs and they're like, don't sexualize me.
It's like, I can't. Like, it won't happen.
You're like, yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I can't.
No one wants that gross badge, guaranteed.
Called attention seeking. How many do you think have children at home? Of these?
Zero.
Zero?
Zero.
Maybe one or two.
Maybe with another woman. Yeah.
Yep. So I guess they like the wars in Ukraine then. Is that what it is? And, you know, we have plenty of reasons to criticize Putin. That's what we'll do in a little bit here, too. If we can get to it. But Putin is not a Nazi.
Well, he's constantly signaling against Nazis.
Exactly. That's his obsession is Nazis. In fact, even the whole ceasefire thing that we will bring up here in a little bit might not happen because there might be a requirement here that the conditions for this special military operation, which entailed denazification, must happen in Ukraine for this. Not de-neoconification or de-Jewification or de-meddlingification or something. No, it's Azov. See, that's those are the running the show right now in Ukraine. They're Nazis are running NATO and the EU.
So tiring. Like, when does this go away? How much longer do we have to hear about this?
A lot longer. Okay. Anyway, moving on so we don't have to see these ugly whatever they are.
Dykes.
Here's Charlie Kirk, our favorite small-faced garbage pail kid.
He does look like a garbage pail. Did you even get those in Sweden?
Yes, we did.
First time I saw him, I'm like, he's a garbage pail kid.
They were extremely popular.
And let me just find an image real quick.
I think all that stuff.
And how messed up is that, by the way? These, like, baby kids that are thrown in a dumpster, and then, like, that's, like, our generation that we stuff we were given to play with.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if all that stuff is, like, came with the same forces that have occupied America and soiled America with this cultural degeneracy, rubbed that all over Europe, post-World War II, right? That's what I mean. I know kids are kind of like, they think this is funny because it's like, it spurs a reaction or whatever, but yeah. Isn't there
I'm just looking at there's like cards you can trade. No, but just pictures. I remember being a kid seeing that, like, I thought it was like a horror movie or something that wasn't for kids.
Yeah.
Because it's messed up. Like, do you guys remember Garbage Pail Kids? The story was they were thrown in a dumpster. Nobody wanted them, and they're just messed up looking. And
Charlie Kirk?
There probably is one. I just don't have time to find it right now. But yeah. It's definitely there.
Here's a sample, right? Remember these?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember some of these specifically.
Yeah, and they were just messed up little deviants. Like Charlie Kirk. Did he literally shout? Oh, yeah, it's because of Charlie.
Yeah, I did search for
Charlie
Kirk.
I was going to say, whoa, he comes up.
Someone redid a card. That's why I bring it up. And I forget which one it is, but they made his face much smaller in there, and it's funny. It's not that you need to, really. But all right, anyway, where are we going with this?
You're going to play a clip.
That's right. It's from Charlie Kirk here. That's what I'm playing. So Tulsi Gabbard. Right or wrong here, right? This is interesting. She's now the director of national intelligence. She says the number one threat to the U.S. is not white supremacy, but radical Islam. Play.
Joe Biden once said that white supremacy was the single greatest terrorist threat.
That's Laura Trump.
What do you feel is the greatest threat to the American people's safety?
We look at the last 4 years of open borders, where we had tens of millions of people come across our borders, many of whom we don't know who they are or what their intentions are. And very specifically, the threat of radical Islamist terrorism here within our country is higher than it's ever been before, not only because of President Biden's open borders, but because of his administration's fear of being called Islamophobes, they took their attention and our resources away from that threat and once again pointed it at our fellow Americans.
Okay. Do you think she's right?
Well, obviously, white supremacy is not a terrorist threat. I would say there's a multitude of non-white groups that are threats and Semitic groups that are a threat. I would say, obviously, Jews are a larger threat because they're in control. They have power. They're running foreign policy. They're dragging us into wars, right? But technically, they're not a they're not a terrorist group, and they can never be called radical Jews or radical Abrahamists. Like, when do we hear that ever spoken about Jews?
If you had when there's clips, or if there ever are, very few, right? To talk like that in terms of Christian pastors, or let's take another denomination or another religion, or pagans or something, right? that are like representative. They're like a kind of a religious leader or some kind of significant person in their community. We're talking in the way that some of these rabbis are talking about destroying other people and genociding them and how they need to worship us and, you know, all this crazy stuff.
Worse than Esau, anyone I've
Amalek
ever heard.
And Edom, yeah, and all that stuff, right? You know, Romans, and that's really Europeans and white people, and it's America and the West, and we need it, you know, that's a commandment to this. If that was happening, I believe that those groups would be terrorist labeled, yes. But because it's rabbis and stuff like that doing it, now they're not being terrorists. So labeled, obviously, yeah, this is a danger. These are those activists that speak like that, and whoever agrees with them and whoever they represent should be considered a terrorist group. And in yes, fact, many of the radical Muslims, as I said, were of course let in because that's one of the agendas. They actually had there's rabbis referring to scriptures that are saying that is it not Ham, right? That's Africans technically. And then Hashem, that's Shem, that's them, right? Or like their God or whatever. The Edoms, that's white people. I forget what there's a word they use for the Muslims. I don't think it's Ham. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the Muslim group or you know, the non-Jewish group need to interbreed with the Edomites, mm-hmm, for them to be destroyed, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the goals. You've heard rabbis in France talk about this, right, in the UK. There's an Australian rabbi that recognized and said, in almost in a cautionary, like, there are disproportionately
Jews. You were in touch
Jews
with him, too, right? We were going to have him on to talk about that.
The show, and then it kind of fell through, and I don't know, but maybe I should follow up on that. But anyway, interesting. So obviously, what's more dangerous, right? The hammer or those who wield the hammer, right? This is not hard. But so the discussion should not be radical Islam. Granted, she did say, oh, the Biden administration or whatever, right? But why can't you incorporate the Hayas here, the Jewish Family Fund, or some of these other groups? So name any of the myriad of Catholic ones or other Christian ones that are doing the same thing. They're getting wealthy and making money on bringing in refugees and resettling them and stuff like that. Name them all. But are they not the guilty party as opposed to the
Well, they're all
desert,
guilty. They're all guilty as far
guy
as I'm
coming
concerned.
In with like an ADIQ, so, and basically just doing what he's
doing. I mean, he's still guilty. And I still want him out.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, who let him in and who's antagonizing them and who's creating the wars that are creating the problems?
I don't think I'm wrong on that.
Yeah. It's not our guys.
Yeah.
It's not our guys.
All right, well, speaking of all that, should we go to the...
Yeah, so some good news, right? The Department of Education, they're investigating 45 universities. This is under Title IV. Let me pull up. I had some notes on this too. Allegedly... these universities, we know they are, only 45 though, engaging in race exclusionary practices in their grad program. Okay, so this isn't even all the other programs. This is just the grad program. They say this will increase diversity in college business schools. It's also investigating 6 schools for race-based scholarships or race-based segregation. And I'm thinking, what university doesn't have some kind of race-based scholarships? They're all getting tax dollars, too.
Yeah.
And so I see the term flying around. People are saying anti-white. They're looking into anti-white programs, and they're going to probe those. They're not actually saying the word anti-white. Okay.
No.
They're referring to a violation of the Civil Rights Act. They're calling this Jim Crow. We all know, okay, this is anti-white. But what they're running with is, no, we need to desegregate. This is like Jim Crow. This is a violation of the 1964 Civil Rights Law, which was originally passed, they say, to reduce discrimination against non-white Americans. They want to desegregate schools. And yet, while this helps white folks long term, though, this means white folks still wouldn't be able to have their own schools, right? I mean, that's what it means. So... Barry Goldwater, and I had talked about this before, I was trying to find some clips, and it was hard to find on YouTube.
What kind of name is that?
He ran for president in the 60s. He warned, and I've talked about this before, that the Civil Rights Act, he was talking about specifically Title II, which was a public accommodations, schools would fall under that, and Section 7, which had to deal with employment, would lead to affirmative action, quotas, employers being forced to hire certain peoples. He was right about all of that. Right. And he talked about the Civil Rights Act was unconstitutional. It ended freedom of association. It ended states' rights. And look, if white people in the South didn't want to go to school with blacks for a multitude of reasons, forcing them at gunpoint was not the answer, right? I mean, look at the South now. How did that work out? Look at all the black cities now. How did that work out? How has it worked for race relations? Many of the blacks in the South, they were brought there, yes, via slavery, but it wasn't the fault of poor white Southern folk. This was a matter of what? 6% of elites in the South?
We're talking about
6% of elites in all of the South, many of whom were Jewish, okay? So this is their mess. This is their mess, and it's been foisted upon us. But if it's a matter of access to public spaces, which whites didn't want to share for a multitude of reasons, which we know what those are today, blacks could create their own spaces, have their own schools, and many of them did. And it was fine in those areas, and in some places they even did better being separate, right? But they did have access. I have to remind you, it was separate but equal. So there was that was a compromise, I think, back then by the Southerners, and I think many blacks were actually okay with this idea. But the mistreatment of blacks, I think, was grossly exaggerated by leftists, Jewish activists at the time, who had a grudge with white conservative society, right? Many Jews, right? Remember, Jews were behind this cause.
Happened at gunpoint. Military with bayonets came in, and also the integration of schools as a consequence of this.
That's right. And that's never going to end well, right? So instead of the Civil Rights Act, what needed to happen was local action needed to happen. We need to have states' rights to solve local issues, not a role. This shouldn't have been a role for federal government and federal laws that ultimately we're suffering under today. They're being abused across the country. It's turning against these so-called civil rights are turned against the white majority. And it's continuing today because of rapid demographic changes. We're never going to get access. We're never going to get perks to these, you know, civil rights. So, you know, today there's a lot of hostile anti-whites. They want separate spaces, but they want to be in your spaces too. Hey, look, I'm okay with segregation, obviously, but we shouldn't have to pay for it. You could be separate. You can have your non-white schools, not on our dime, but then we should also be allowed to have our schools. We shouldn't be forced to live with everyone else, which whites are, and be unequal under the law, which we are, because they cry racism. So really, all of this that we're experiencing is a mess of multiracial, multiculturalism, and it never should have existed, right? And reminder, Trump, when he came into office, was in January, he passed the executive order to end DEI practices in schools. And obviously, they're not complying, so now they're having to do this probe. And I think it's going to be like how we talked about earlier. They'll say, okay, we'll lay off that. We won't do that. But then they'll just continue when the next guy comes in. By the way, I saw, too, enrollment of white undergrad students has fallen more than that of any other racial group. They're not going to school.
Why.
And yeah, of course, they weren't being let in. Yeah, they weren't being let in. They're not getting access to the money, you know, the grants, the scholarships. But even still then, I think a lot of them feel, what's the point? You go there as a white person. It's still all this dye indoctrination. You get shat on in these, you know, universities, right, for being white. And then you get out and there's still dye everywhere in the workplace, right?
Yeah.
So it's harder for white people. So they figure, like, What's the point of all this, of going to school? And I think it's a good thing that they don't go to schools or try and create alternative pathways for education.
Yeah.
You know?
But then they do this. Remember this, too? We showed this a few times.
Yes, of course.
Anti-Semitic harassment on the college campuses.
Of course.
That's a problem. So yeah.
But I just want to say, as far as like...
Health and Human Services, by the way.
Of course, they're going to be, you know, all of this is going to be really looking out for Jews, mostly. You know, we know this. It's not like they're going in there dissecting, and we've talked about this many times, going in there and dissecting the, you know, the anti-white indoctrination and the, you know, they've talked about going after CRT in schools and stuff, but a lot of schools aren't complying. And what is CRT? What is dye really? They can say, oh, we've dismantled it, but you can go into some schools that are conservative or Christian or private. They're still pushing the Rosa Parks books. Here's the Einstein books.
They have litter boxes.
Here's the feminist propaganda. Yeah, they have actual litter boxes for furries. Yeah. I almost didn't believe this. It's actually happening. I asked for a friend's daughter to take a picture.
Yeah.
So that you could say, oh, these diversity programs have ended. But no, it's already in their minds. It's been in their minds since the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
right? Yeah. I mean, anytime you're getting MLK indoctrination, the Holocaust indoctrination, the American Indian indoctrination, all of that is still die. That's all still critical race theory.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to take a lot of work to clean that up, and it's going to take parents doing more work, and it's going to take white kids knowing the truth about some of these things if they go into some of these institutions and are like, okay, I need this degree for that or that, to like kind of, you know, just jump through the hoops, whatever nonsense they have to get the degree, but not like not let it soak in, you know, a lot of that indoctrination. What has the Department of Education done so far? Let's play a clip of Linda McMahon, who's the secretary.
Is it the WWE? Vince McMahon?
Is she?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently she was appointed, to dismantle it, I think?
So they say that they're reporting mass layoffs, and this is the first step on the road to a total shutdown, but they're still using it as a vehicle to get certain things done.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Well, I can tell you two things that the Department of Education has already done. We've gone through contracts and grants that had DEI programs as part of it and stripped that out or stopped those grants. And also, we've now launched investigations into five different universities, Harvard being one, Columbia was one, to make sure that they are getting rid of these anti-Semitic actions, programs, whatever it is they're doing. They have to stop it. Mm-hmm. This is dangerous. This is really about safety on campus. And we, you know, we believe our university should be open for freedom of expression, you know, free speech, open dialogue and debate, but not this kind of violence that is dangerous.
Was there really a lot of violence,
it's,
though?
No, it's words.
Again, it's look, signs. Obviously my position on this is that if these people are so obsessed about Palestine, you could go there and fight, obviously, right? But it's the point, and we've mentioned it in a few shows. We apologize for being repetitive, but this is the nature of our job. We have to repeat these things, and as we get out there and people have to, this is a click. We're talking decades of just anti-white indoctrination, open discrimination against white student groups where whites can't join, but whites can't set up their own, cultural Marxism, the attack on the, you know, on the West. This is why I think they're doing this constant, you know, decolonialization narratives and white people bad, colonialism bad and stuff. It's to keep us not reminded of the good things we did, right? But that's the way we are taught our history now. You are bad. Well, you did what your ancestors did, but you're also responsible. The reason you're ahead and can't get into all these colleges now and can't get a job is because you were colonizer and you made money on this, your families made money on this and stuff. So now we have to. But it's about keeping the discourse and the dialogue about those issues while they're right now currently doing the discrimination. Right, they're doing these things, and then so the follow up to this is them saying, "Oh, okay, we'll undo all this, and DI is bad, and it's racism, and it's Jim Crow," as the other one says, right? DI is kind of Jim Crow, basically. Kind of. Oh, and it's like these dumbasses, like, what's his name? James Lindsay, right? That somehow, Rufo, what's his name? Chris Rufo. They're arguing that critical race theory is actually racist towards blacks and Asians.
Oh, yes. They would never say it's anti-white or that it hurts white people. And they said it's dangerous, in fact, to say, call it anti-white, because it might lead to a pro-white, white identity
movement,
nationalist movement. Yep. And they're terrified of that.
Yep.
And most of those people are race mixers or Jewish or, you know, that's why they have a shtick against it so much.
Yeah, exactly. But no, so this is what we're getting. We're getting it was decades of anti-white open discrimination, institutionalized race hate against whites. Yeah, that's fine. A couple of Palestinian protests, though. That's one too far. Let's clamp down now. And this is the reason why.
And then here's the thing: even if they ended all
these campuses, now.
Even if they ended all these programs, America is so multiracial, multicultural. It's such a mess. We're gonna have problems that we can't even think of yet. It'll be a whole new set of problems and policy that will be implemented, I'm sure. It's not going to just go away.
Even if this goes
away, it's just like that idea. Well, if we just don't talk about race, if we just ignore it, then all the problems go away and it'll be a kumbaya fest. Of course, we know that that's not how it that's not the reality of things. Mm-hmm. All these ethnic groups, they have their interests. They have, you know, certain goals. They have certain things they're good at and not good at. You know, it's going to be competitive at the end of the day, no matter what.
Yeah.
It's been a disaster. So the question is now, really, how do you clean it up? How do you fix it moving forward so that we can actually help white people in a big way? Because meanwhile, all this anti-white, this pro-Jewish propaganda, it continues at large. Yeah. So where do we fall into this, and what do we do to help, you know, our youths?
Yeah, we need institutions. We need institutional you know, academic institutions, with institutions that stand up for us, NGOs and stuff. And that's not, you know, falling on the back burner or being like, oh, you're a victim, no, you know, kind of thing. We need to organize.
It's political power. Ultimately,
you need
a voice.
What you need, and we've talked about this, but what you need is you need people being confronted about the issue of race. You know what I mean? And they need to start as white people taking their own side and standing up for their own and start favoring their own. And that, you know, our enemies will say that then that will reflect in, you know, violence and things like this. But no, it's about you taking your own side and you loving your own people as opposed to, like, accepting all this hate that's directed towards us. And that's the only way we can survive, you know.
Separatism. What's wrong with separate but equal under the law? We're not talking about equality of, like, oh, we're all equal in the same. No, equal under the law, like how they talked about during Jim Crow. What's wrong with that? Yeah. I thought that was a good compromise in the South. Excuse me, for all the problems that they were dealing with at that time. Because, you know, when you look at some of the footage of, like, the civil rights era and blacks being sprayed with hoses and stuff by the white cops, you don't see all the, you don't get to see the footage of all the things that the black people were doing, right? You just see, oh, here's the bad white person holding the sign about no blacks in this restaurant or whatever. What is wrong with being separate? We need to get okay with that idea of just being separate and absolute freedom of association. You can't force people to live with you by gunpoint, by policy, by propaganda, by enforcing it with police. It's never going to work. There has to be other solutions.
Yeah, well,
and the solutions
We need our countries back.
It's not always done by law. It's like these federal laws. They were trying to end discrimination and end separatism, but it's only created more.
Yes, of course, and it will create even more, right? At the same time, you know, the balkanization and, of course, it's not that, you know, short-term hostilities can be favorable, right, as opposed to if this actually was a kumbaya and a wonderful melting pot, then you lose your racial identity and you lose who you are forever, you know, kind of thing. So short term, yeah, you might have to take problems that come as a consequence of this. And some people argue that, in fact, the more kind of white people are pushed up against a wall, then in a way, the better that is. I still think that much of this that we're seeing, although it's theatrical and won't really go away at the root of things, obviously, it's to remove the visible layer of this and say, stop talking about it. That's why Rufo, the other guy who punched the Antifa guy, Rufo. And James Lindsay and the ilk in that sphere, in that type of space, are so adamant about removing this because it is leading to a white racial awakening, essentially. And that's what they're worried. They're more worried about that, in fact. But at the same time, this is not going to help their cause, I think, because now again, they get special protection. And now it's all about anti-Semitism as opposed to anti-whiteism, right?
And so. I've seen white identity becoming more popular, pro-whiteism, lobbying for the white people in the country, because now we're seeing all these conservatives, right, who are like, oh, America's just it's a country of ideas and it's just a piece of paper, right, it has nothing to do with the European founding stock or whatever. Now they're getting hammered in comments and people are calling them out. I see that on a much broader scale now, too, where there is a consciousness of white people who are like, no, hey, this is ours. It is our ancestors who made this place. And we do have claim on this place. It is ours. And we have the right to say no more of these people coming in.
Well, yeah, of course. That's why they want to ban X. The little free speech we do have, right? That's no good. But yeah, a lot of noticing. So that's a big problem for them. They are forced. Overall, I think it's a good trend because they're kind of forced to respond to the trends. They're forced to push back against it. And if it is true that they'll, you know, first try to work with you, like say, okay, fine, we'll do away with DI, we'll do away with woke and maybe some ESG stuff, critical race theory, let's kind of put that on the back burner for now. And let's see if we can make things, again, so that they will come together in this melting pot, the vision that they actually have, right?
No, but then that's when we push for more.
Well,
I mean,
of course,
isn't that what the left does? You take a little, I mean, the left, they have their slippery slope. Oh, you allow gay marriage. And next thing you know, it's like pedophiles in the school, right? You know, it's I think we need to get more ruthless that way, too. It's like, okay, we got an inch. Let's go in for, 10 more feet.
Well, we're not going to get what we need to, the point that we need to get to by being nice. You know what I mean? These are people that hate us and they want to extort. They've made that blatantly clear. You know what I mean? They're out to target our kids and they're out to target our race and our people. And they basically want us gone. They want to replace us. They want to mix you out. They want to make sure you don't have any rights. They have pushed you out from employment opportunities and business opportunities. They censor people. They shut down like they did with us, right? Bank accounts and payment, everything they can to push back against those who are trying to wake people up to this, of what really is happening. So, you're over the target, and then they get mad at you. But at the same time, the more they do that, then that spurs a reaction. You know what I mean?
And the other thing is, we're looking at a time here when once the white boomer conservative dies off, yeah, they can be a real pain in the ass sometimes, right? Fighting us on this race stuff. But once they die off, that's a large population of white people that won't be around anymore either. So that's going to be interesting. What's going to happen
disastrous
then?
Potentially.
That's going to be,
we're talking 10,
another
20,
deep end, deep dive into 10, something.
20, 25 years and then.
Yes, it'll be less pro-Israel. It will be less pro-Israel, but it will be more anti-white.
Yeah, too. And it will be significantly less white people as well.
Yeah.
So, we'll be radically turned into a minority in many countries over the next two decades if we don't turn this around now. So this is urgent. I mean, this is a fight for survival. It doesn't mean it's over just because you are a What is the gay term they use now? Minority majority, right? The majority minority.
Yeah,
Anyway, you get where this is going, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have more. We're going to have to take it into After Flash.
I think we do. I did want to cover the, we can do the protesters at Columbia stuff. They're going after some more people there, I guess, but yeah. Okay. I start up Entropy again because that stopped going. So you have a couple of more.
Oh, friend of Mary Fagan says white people need their own BlackRock Larry Fink for pooling our savings and using it to influence corporations and their lobbyists. Bit by bit.
Yeah, I agree. I know. Yeah, it's true. We need financial or make that somehow. But it's
organized. Better organization. Just, Charles Turner Jr. And we haven't needed to because it has been our countries. And now we're finding that we're strangers in our own countries, minorities in our own countries who need to lobby for what we want. It's crazy. Charles Turner Jr. says about Barry Goldwater and his run for president in 1964, Lyndon Johnson was the last Dem to carry Idaho in a presidential election. Goldwater carried most of the populist counties such as Ada, Bonneville, Canyon, Twin Falls, which kept the results in Idaho close. I hope these refugees here go back. Yeah, yep. I know. There's a lot of them lingering down in southern Idaho, unfortunately.
Ugh. Yeah, they will keep trying. Any white area, they'll go in there and they'll, do you remember seeing that about people migrating to vote and to get white people in this case, not like migrant from other countries? That's an issue too, obviously, but I'm saying white shitlips to go to conservative majority white areas and to change voter, to get local shitlibs and Democrats and all this stuff in power, and then they can start changing those laws.
Again,
and then they
open that's why the it's important to get involved locally.
I know.
Have to do that. And that what we have in Idaho, too, is the rhinos, these shitlibs that pretend to be, I'm one of you guys, and then they run, and then surprise, I'm not one of you guys, and they lie, they cheat, they're just really conniving and just evil. It's amazing to me how they have no moral conscience whatsoever and their obsession to turn our communities into the filth that they're fleeing. everywhere else.
Just starting to learn truth. Signed a couple of library tokens. Thank you. I can use those to create the player. You need library tokens to create the players on Odyssey right now. Thank you. Michael57DE says regarding Gab. You read that one, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Good. I think we're caught up there. So yes, we will take a little break, and so we're gonna partially keep going, but a little backstage feel here in After Flash, new thing we're doing in case you're just tuning in. And that's something we do for members. So if you guys want to hang out for a little bit more laid back, redicemembers.com, local, subscribe, star, Odyssey. And I'm going to try, so I'm going to need 10 minutes, maybe 15. I'm going to try, locals have this weird thing where they only let you use Rumble Studios. I can't actually plug it into a, like a streaming software, like, OBS and vMix and all these other programs. So I'm experimenting with that today. So we'll see how that goes.
Someone asked, how do I find After Flash?
Yeah, redicemembers.com, membership there, or on Locals, Subscribestar, or Odyssey. And, of course, unfortunately, on redicemembers.com, it's not automatic because, again, we are, we don't have the normie mainstream payment processors available to us, so we have to manually activate your account there. But there's something you can do if you want to tune in live to that next week on redicemembers.com. But Locals, Subscribestar, and Odyssey, you can watch it there. If the local thing that I'm trying to do doesn't work, I'll probably just put a player, like embed a player in a post on our locals. And I think that will work. So anyway, there are a couple of technical things I got to sort out. But there is a live stream little chat that I added on Redis members of comment on the right there side as well. So we'll keep an eye on that throughout. Nice. I said I was going to do that last week, didn't I? So I did it. So anyway, yeah. So join us there. We'll keep talking about this and some other stuff. But yeah, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
We do appreciate it.
Thank you so much for all the nice.
Sorry.
The nice birthday messages. It means so much to me, guys, and keeps us motivated and keeps us moving ahead.
Thank you guys so much for the support. We appreciate it very much, very, very much, tremendously. I do want to plug, of course, our executive producers and stuff like that, too. But yeah, $10 a month, that's a membership. That helps us tremendously. I know times are tough. I know the inflation, prices, it's just insane out there right now.
Yeah.
But it's only $10 a month. It's not that much. Most people, I don't think, will feel a tremendous hit from that. Once per month, so it's $10 a month. But you can do a sign up for a longer subscription as well, like a one-time payment, and that will get the price down significantly as well. So that's another way to do it if you prefer it that way. RedHouseMembers.com, Odyssey, Subscribestar, or Locals. As we said, that's the main platforms that we put up our members' content on. And, of course, we are going to be back with Western Warrior as well. Actually, we might do something different this week, didn't we? We might. We'll see, schedule-wise. We'll figure that out. But we do have members' content going up, as usual, obviously, this week. Up on the sites, or the coming week, rather. Obviously, as well, thank you to our executive producers today. I think, do I not have that plugged in? I should. If I don't, I got to do it. I gotta go find it. But anyway, I did want to cover, while I look for that here real quick, I did want to cover a little bit on the Russia thing too, by the way, because there are some developments there. It's not completely negative. I think it's good overall. They are, I think, genuinely trying for a truce.
Oh, Russia saying, Putin saying that he won't invade Ukraine if they stop being Nazis. You mean that?
I'm saying the overall ideas are good, but now the ball is in Russia's and Putin's court. So we'll discuss that a little bit because that might be coming back. But anyway, here we go. I found it. Thank you, executive producers.
Thank you.
Some of our heroes out there. T. Lothrop Stoddard, V. Miller, Resin Revolt, joined us in chat today. Good Luck Lap, Jake, Red Pill Rundown. We got French 47, Mark Smith, No One Jeeves, President Obunga. We have Mongoose, William Fox, Angry White Soccer Mom, The Second Wanderer, Operation Werewolf, The Ride Never Ends. We got Last Place Simp, Joseph Hart, Purple Haze, Rex Ballington, Commie Combo Deal. We also have the Dearborn Toxic Event, Brandon Anthony. We got Penelope 7 USA, Bertrand Compere, Dixie Drone Force. Shout out to Albert, Arctic Wolf, an executive producer as well, Europe Awake, and Teutonic Werebearer. Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate you tremendously. Also, thanks to our producers, Mr. Walker, 696, Johansson, Leroy Duman, Snorkpop, Eyes Open, Mr. Lemry, Urenu, Obadiah Hexwell, Perfect Brute, Single Action Army, Lord H.P. Lovecraft, Trevor, Der Schwabe, Sonata for Violin, Whitewater Rafting Fan, Jetfire, ExposeFlyers.com. We also have Shane B., Restitutor, Orbis, Alcyon, and the Boo Man. If you would like to upgrade to one of those or get one of those right away, you can do it at redismembers.com, Odyssey, or Subscribestar. Okay. I think we're done.
Thank you, guys. Housekeeping stuff. See you on the other side.
After Flash. Mm-hmm. That's right. Coming right up. So join us over there, and we'll be back in about 10:15, something like that.
Depends. In a flash.
I'm gonna not quite. I'm gonna get a. I get a
in a 15 minute.
I get a troubleshoot. No, I'm just joking. I'm gonna, if it doesn't work right away, I'll just set up a player on locals. But anyway, we'll see you guys there. Take care.
Thank you for watching. Go to redicemembers.com and sign up for our exclusive members content. Don't miss our latest shows, interviews, and other videos only for subscribers. You can also become a member by signing up at subscribestar.com/redice. Get full access and help support our work. See you on the other side.
You're watching Red Eyes TV Book Burst.